Hi, everybody. I'm Scott.
Hello, I'm Julie.
And this is A Good Story is Hard to Find podcast,
where two Catholic friends talk about the books and movies they love and the traces of the one reality that lie below the surface.
That's right. And we are three quarters of the way to a century. This is episode number 75.
Ooh.
I just called up the Good Story is Hard to Find website. Mm-hmm. And I just have to tell you that it's really nice to have Keith Richards. Keith Richards is at the top, and I think that that is just awesome.
Yeah, we're pretty hip to all kinds of things, by the way. Yeah,
I love it. So this is episode number 75, and we're going to talk about a television show called Community.
Oh yeah, we haven't talked about a TV show exclusively yet, so this is, you know, a good mile marker for 75.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorite sitcoms, and you introduced it to me at least a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. I had not seen it, and then you said, oh, you have to see this, you know? So, of course, I did. And this show, I mean, the highs of this show just blow me away. I just absolutely loved it. And it is so, it's not like a lot of other shows, yet you benefit from having watched other television.
Because it's, excuse me, it mm-hmm. is very embedded in, or I guess drenched, one could say, in pop culture. And that's what makes it so funny. And sometimes they make their points that way, is you can get them without knowing the pop culture, but anything you know about American or even just modern culture, I would say Western culture, is going to make you love this show more.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree 100%. And it's fun. Television specifically, I mean, there's a character on here who's just addicted to TV, I would say, among mm-hmm. other quirks. And is always saying, you know, this is like that episode where blah, blah, blah. Or this is like, you know, the relationship episode or whatever. You know, I just love that guy.
He's got, is it Asperger's or one of those? Basically, he can't relate to people at all, so he has to use pop culture to do it.
Yeah.
And it drives everybody crazy, but yet they understand where he's going with it because it's our culture. It's like a celebration of pop culture thinly veiled in this group story. And basically Community refers to Community College, which is Greendale College.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
go
about
humans.
Little, huh?
I said go humans.
And that's something they dropped that I wish they'd kept. They didn't want to offend anyone, so their mascot is the human bean, and he's always very you could almost say he's generic looking because he doesn't look like any race or anything. He's always covered up.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can't see him. And so at the same time that they're just treating that as normal, they're also poking back at culture.
Yeah, and that is an excellent example of how they do it, you know. To have a mascot that has absolutely no meaning whatsoever, you know. The human being that's absolutely clear, like an eraser has erased any trace of any personality whatsoever.
Right.
And that's like a real statement on the culture that we're in. You know, everybody says, you know, diversity is our strength, you know, but it seems mm-hmm. like we're all trying to quash it and be the very same. We don't want anybody to talk about how things are different or anything like that, you know? And I just think that that was a brilliant little piece of commentary.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, and that makes me think of an episode that I really did not enjoy very much, which was probably from the first season,
mm-hmm.
their Christmas show, when all these characters have very definite characteristics, like most people, and Shirley is a Christian, and she brings it up in reference to herself a lot, but she'll oh, sweet baby Jesus or something, but she doesn't usually push it on people too much.
Mm-hmm.
But for the Christmas episode, she was really insistent that this is about Jesus' birthday, and she didn't want anybody else to take the focus off of that. And so what happened, though, is eventually she has to open up and let everyone express themselves. And so what happens is they sing a song that has no meaning whatsoever because it's so inclusive. And I don't think they were poking fun at that point because it seemed pretty sincere. And I was like, I'm not one of those people who feels like if you can't celebrate Christmas if you're not Christian. Mm-hmm. My family was atheist. We loved the heck out of Christmas. Man, we did everything. It was great, except go to church because, you know, why spend the time doing that? But it just was kind of blah.
Yeah, yeah.
And most of the times, that was when they were still finding their footing. Later on, they use all those expressions of who those people are to much greater effect.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's the strength of the show, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, a quick premise. What happens is the first day of school, the very first episode, there's a guy named Jeff Winger, who is a lawyer who he's been found out. He doesn't actually have a degree. So, he's been disbarred for not having a degree. But he has a certain amount of time to get a degree, which is silly, but that's the way it is.
Yeah.
So he's going to community college and, he meets this girl named Britta who likes her quite
a bit.
She's
pretty.
She's pretty, right? So they start to, gather up a, study group. Him chasing Britta is the start of the study group, and she invites other people because she's not too interested. And next thing you know, they've gathered together a study group of fairly diverse people. And mm-hmm. that's the group that is community. It becomes the family. And that's what they act like. They act like they're very much a family. But they're a community, right?
Right. And they have, of course, so he's the kind of duplicitous. He's kind of a lawyer. Mm-hmm. Looks down at them. And because, you know, he's just there to, he's been out in the world. He's been successful. Then you have Annie, who that actress was never able to sell to me the part of the young, innocent girl. She's clearly too old. And I would keep forgetting until they'd refer to it. It's not that she's a bad actress. It's just, mm-hmm. she's too old to be just out of high school or whatever. But so you've got somebody who's just out of high school and this is how they're going on to college. You've got Troy, who's the former football player. This mm-hmm. is how he's going on to college. He and Annie were in high school together. Abed, who he wants to make movies.
Mm-hmm.
His Arab father at the beginning anyway, before they drop all that, is very much against it because Western culture is no good. But Abed is drenched in it because mm-hmm. it's the only way he can relate to anybody.
Yeah.
He's got Pierce, who's that's Chevy Chase. He's older. He's very much older. But he's been going there. That's kind of been his home for 12 years or so. That's been what he does with his spare time. He's fairly wealthy, and he just spends his time there taking classes. And then Shirley, who's a single mother, who's going to get a degree so she can have a restaurant or have a business of some sort. So those are the diverse people. And as, of course, you learn, you know, you've got the young, innocent, idealistic ones. Oh, and Britta, mm-hmm. the very idealistic person.
Right.
Who just, what cause do you have? That's what I'm going to do. And so they use all those aspects, of course, to show as foils for each other, as ways to take pop culture, and be hilarious with it.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that's really interesting to me is and of course, now I can't remember his name, the guy who created the show. This was his own experience. Whatever it was, I think because he works in TV or Hollywood, he was at loose ends, like something didn't work. And so he and his girlfriend, or maybe wife, but I think girlfriend, decided to take some community college classes. And he wound up in a group like this. And he realized after a while, he was a horrible jerk. He was spending all his time looking down on everyone and being obnoxious. And all they were trying to do was get by the best they could. And so he took that and exaggerated some stuff. But he said, I was Jeff Winger, which can't be a pretty thing to realize about yourself.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Yep. So, yeah, yeah. And then now Dan Harmon was involved
with
the show. Yeah, Dan Harmon for the first three seasons. And then he was taken off the show, and now he's back on the show, and they're in their fifth season.
It's not working for me.
It's not working for me either. But we always have the great episodes.
I have DVDs of the first three seasons. That's all I need, people.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. And I would agree that the fourth season was, I can't think of an episode that I would say, oh, go see that. Mm-mm. Everything that I liked about Community has been in the first three seasons.
Yeah, it was interesting to see them take everything that was exactly the same and not be able to reproduce that creative spark that understood what that show had developed at that point and could hone it on pop culture. They just took it and dumbed it down and made it into another stupid sitcom.
Yeah, yeah.
It was interesting.
Yeah, and it's had an interesting life, too, this show. It seems to be on the verge of cancellation constantly, yet it survives. You know, I was really surprised when they said there was going to be a fifth season. And the fifth season is only going to be 13 episodes, I think.
Right. And somebody said it's because they want to get it to syndication, and you have to have 100 episodes for that, or 80 or 100 episodes for that. Yeah. And I'm like, well, but it shows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. But the quality of the shows is tough at the moment.
Yeah.
But again, you always have the first three seasons. Yeah.
Yeah. So much. Exactly.
So, you know, I wanted to mention Jim Rash, too. He plays the dean. And one of the interesting things I wanted to say about him is he won an Oscar for screenplay for a movie called The Descendants with George Clooney.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then just as another quick aside, he's got a TV show called The Writer's Room.
Oh, okay.
Which is, I watched on iTunes. I watched a couple of episodes, but he gets writers together from TV shows like Breaking Bad, for example.
Oh, okay.
And then he has them in a room and they talk for a half an hour about writing that TV show.
Okay.
And there's been one season of it. I have no idea if it's going to continue or not. But the episode or two that I watched, I really enjoyed.
Well, he also, though, he with whoever co-wrote The Descendants with him, also wrote the screenplay for the movie The Way, Way Back, which was really critically acclaimed. And I haven't seen it. It's on my watch list.
Like, yeah, I saw it. I saw the movie. I thought it was really good. Yeah, I thought it was very good. It was a teenager movie, you know, kind of a...
Coming
growing
of age.
Up, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then the guy who plays Jeff. Come on, a lot of people knew him when everything started off because he had his own very satirical show.
Joel McHale is his name.
That's it.
Yeah.
On cable or something,
right?
And which, you know, so he kind of fits, I guess, this role.
Yeah,
of Jeff.
And I mean, now they mention it, I don't know if I ever made that connection, but I think I did see him. Wasn't he? It's like a news show or something.
I'm sorry, you faded out at that moment.
Okay, I'm sorry. I think it was a news show that he did, an entertainment news show.
Yeah.
Like he's behind an anchor desk and talking about things satirically.
Okay. Well, that's, my kids both went, oh, it's got Joel McHale in it, who I like. So, but what we did was we picked out some episodes that we liked.
Right.
So because you can't watch everything. And in fact, I added so many extras for myself, it almost killed me trying to watch them. It was a wonderful way to go, but because the way I discovered it was, you know, the first season started and a friend of mine at work who we talk about TV a lot and movies. And he watched the first couple episodes and went, no. And Chevy Chase's character is awful. And I have to say, for most of the show, I really never liked Chevy Chase's character. But Hannah and I, she was living with us at the time. We were flipping through TV, and it was in the second season. We were waiting for something, and the timing was off. And we came upon their Halloween show, which was the zombie one.
Oh,
it was called
yeah.
Epidemiology, because this is a nice little conceit, is that every show is titled something that would be a class title that they would take. So, and it's when everybody eats some army grade something that the dean picked up cheap to be the refreshments, and they start turning into zombies. And so it doesn't really have any redeeming value in terms of a message. But it is the funniest, most complete pop cultural reference that's been turned into a story about zombies I've ever seen. When Troy says, or when Abed says to Troy, I want you to be the first black man to make it to the end, I almost fell out of my chair laughing so hard. And that's when I went, what is this? And Hannah said, oh, I've been trying to tell you. This is Community. You should be watching it. And the first season is a little rocky, but it's, you know, the first part of it anyway. But once they hit their stride, they have a lot of regular shows where you just watch and it's enjoyable and they're all good. But then they have some that they have a lot of them that really hit this peak of just that pop culture reference that they're using to tell the story is amazing.
Yeah,
how complete they are with details.
Yeah, and they're atypical episodes. I can't think of another show that does this kind of thing. When they step outside the normal sitcom and do something special. And like there was a Claymation Christmas episode, just for example. You know, we're going to talk about some others. But those are the shows that I have liked the most, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the payoff, part of the payoff is having watched the other ones because – you know, the characters don't change during these shows. They're played up during these shows. So if you know a little bit about their history, it's even better. Not that you have to, but it's even better. Yeah.
Well, and the show that tells me, and maybe it can communicate if you haven't seen it, how thorough they can be and how much fun the shows are and how much fun you felt like they had doing them was the Fake Clip Show, which was called Paradigms of Human Memory. And basically, you know how every show, sometimes they'll go, oh man, let's do a clip show because we need a breather from doing something.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And they did a clip show that at the time we watched it, I hadn't seen enough of it, but Rose was watching it. She went, none of these things happened. They made up all the clips. And I was like, oh my gosh. So and I'm like, I want to see the one where they went to the Old West ghost town. I want to see the one which was St. Patrick's Day on the rapids. I want to, you know.
Yep.
When they went camping, I want to see it. So they did such a good job.
Yeah, they really did. They really did. But that's hilarious that they would make up clips. I mean, it's perfect, you know, and almost every sitcom there is, you know, says, okay, we get one free show if we just throw together this clip show, you know. And so it's a making fun of the whole sitcom, you know. So it's like meta. Love it.
Well, yeah, mm-hmm. And they do that routinely. Like there was one where Troy kept going, oh, because it's a bottle show.
Because
they didn't allow them to leave the study room, and they did everything very minimally. And everybody kept going, would you stop saying that? And I was like, what? And Rose said, oh, because she was going to school for film at the time. She's like, that's where you've done a really expensive episode. So now you have to really scale back for everything. And there's a reason why you only need one set and very few props and stuff, because you have to do it all with the writing.
Right.
You've spent all your extra money on something else, like the zombie episode or whatever.
Yeah. So the whole episode takes place in their study room. That's funny.
Yeah. Like the one where Annie lost the pen and she wouldn't let anybody leave.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That is too funny. Yeah, too funny.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the only season one. Well, there was a couple of season one, but you mentioned one called Contemporary American Poultry. Season one, episode 21.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
It's funny because if you've ever seen The Godfather, and you don't have to have seen The Godfather, but it's every mafia family type movie ever, because it's basically the premise is that they have chicken fingers once a week at the cafeteria and everybody rushes for them and they always run out before the study group gets any. And they suddenly notice that this one character called Starburns, because his sideburns are in the shapes of stars, is skimming. He's getting extra favors for the chicken fingers he's giving out to people. So they come up with a way to get Abed at the fryer. And so they control the chicken finger supply.
And Abed gets drunk with chicken power.
What?
Abed gets drunk with chicken power. That's what
he does. He does. And the interesting thing about that whole episode, for one thing, it's just so full of cultural goodness, and it's hilarious. But at the same time, what the point that they're making is that it started off because they wanted chicken fingers and Jeff wanted their group to get the chicken fingers. He had absolute power over them. He could just, you know, zip with his fingers and everybody'd shut up. But what Abed tells them at the very end when they're resolving everything is he wanted it because it was the one way he could connect with people.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what you see are the abuses were the same and the reactions of the people once they had had, they were ungrateful, they were used to all the favors, were the same. But the intentions of the two people were so different that one was okay and one wasn't, in a sense, because the one person just didn't understand how do you connect with people in a different way. It was an interesting look at intention, I thought.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and ego.
Oh,
I remember he says, well, Abed tells Winger that, you know, your ego is what's going to prevent you from doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't possibly run this machine because of your ego. Mm-hmm. And then Winger says, I see. This has been about me the whole time. I don't have an ego. My Facebook photo is a landscape or something like that.
Yeah, that's right. But, and they have all these wonderful little throwaway moments, like, you know, when they're talking about the chicken fingers and Troy says, if God were edible, not that I'm Catholic, but if God were edible, he'd be a chicken finger. Just like, how can you not love that?
Oh, that was good.
Just this whole acknowledgement of the whole system right there.
That's too funny.
Yeah. Oh, and I just want to say that in that episode, the whole time Pierce is trying to coin a new phrase. Well, that's streets ahead. People are like, oh, wait, what does that mean? Does that mean it's cool? And Jeff keeps going, that's not a thing. He's made that up. And do you know that it actually is old British slang from the Beatles time?
No, I had no idea.
If you watch Help, one of the, like one of the side characters uses it.
Oh, how about that? I've seen that movie.
At the time it came out, it the episode came out, suddenly there was this buzz about it. And he goes, well, if you don't know that, your street's behind. And they're like, stop it, that's not a thing. Which is what we say to each other, because that wasn't a thing.
Oh, my gosh.
But streets ahead was actually a slang phrase for that's pretty cool. You know, oh, your street's ahead.
Oh, wow. Well, that's
cool.
So for
Christmas, Hannah got me a t-shirt that said streets ahead on it from the NBC store or whatever network it is.
Oh, that makes me happy. That is too funny.
I know.
Yeah. But, you know, you mentioned Pierce, and man, if I was Chevy Chase, I think I would what a difficult character to play for weeks and weeks and weeks and years.
Well, what's funny is he hated the character.
Yeah.
He didn't want to do it, but he said he needed the money.
But
and
yeah.
So he and Dan Harmon, I guess, fought constantly.
Yeah. And the character was just hateful.
Oh,
I mean, he was there just to, I mean, there were some episodes where you just stunned at what that character did that was hateful.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, that would have been hard. You know, I can understand his difficulty. You know, I have no idea who's mad at who or whatever like that, but, you know, I can completely understand him not wanting to do that every week, because how difficult would that be? That's a hard one.
Well, he is. And he's only redeemed by the fact that he's part of the group. And that's kind of, to not talk about episodes for a moment, but to talk about community.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, the name of the show, it's about community college, but it's also about this tiny community. And you and I were exchanging some emails about other aspects of the show earlier, and I hadn't really thought about it much. Mm-hmm. And I know this is like, duh, obvious, I guess. But I suddenly thought about that little community, and I started thinking about my life, which is made up of a lot of quirky communities like that.
Yeah.
My book club, which has met for probably 8 years or something, and membership has shifted.
Mm-hmm.
But especially right now, it seems fairly set, and it's we're quirky as hell. I'm just going to say, except for me, because I'm Jeff Winger and I'm normal, right? But we all think we're Jeff or Annie, you know, a nice one. you know, there
that's
you go.
Too funny. Yeah.
But then I've got my my little movie group that I do with the assisted living place. And that's suddenly kind of set. It shifts, but the same basic people come. And I'm now having to, I'm like, oh, okay, this person's not going to like this movie, but I could talk to her about this, this person, you know, you get all the little quirks down. And eventually what happens though, is there are people like Pierce, but what you know is they wouldn't fit anywhere else. You can't kick them out because it would just be cruel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and so there are the peripheral characters always, you know, like Fat Neil and some of those people who come and go, Leonard, who come and go, but they're not the core of the people. And it's funny to me when I think of my life and I'm like, oh, I'm connected in so many ways. I'm like, but there's work, there's these groups, there's other little groups like that. And I'm like, somehow it always comes down to small groups like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my life too.
How about you? Are you?
Well, yeah, the same way, you know. I mean, we moved fairly recently, you know, so those things even become sharper, you know. I had a theater group and I have my SFF audio crowd that I love, you know.
There's the podcast groups,
the podcast groups. And then here I had a new church, you know, so I have this church group that's been growing ever since. And, you know, it's become a small group of people that I see all the time at church, you know. Mm-hmm. And at work, you know, work is a group as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you think, do I fit in here? Is this going to be good? You know, and then as things progress and you feel like you're fitting in more, it's even more rewarding. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I feel the same way. That's your whole life is made up of these communities and family, of course.
Oh,
I mean,
right.
Our families are a community too.
Right.
And isn't that what the Catholic Church is all about too? I mean, that's community. Yeah.
Yeah, well, because, and that's the thing of, you know, after Jesus died, and what did they do? They all went out personally. They didn't go, and let me just give you a message to send to everyone.
Right, right.
They hit the streets because it's the person to person is how you really can communicate stuff and get to even know each other. And that's something I've discovered in the last couple of years, maybe, as I've belonged to this marriage retreat group. There's one woman, a young woman in particular, I say young, we're older than everybody in there. Maybe I'm the Pierce. Oh no. but she kept wanting to have coffee with me or have lunch with me. And I kept going, yeah, we see each other in the group. And she's like, nope, that's not enough. And so eventually, you know, you just do it. And after repeated, I guess a couple of years worth of at least every 2 or 3 weeks having coffee with her, we're really good friends. And now I've started using that on, there was somebody I really couldn't get along with. And I was like, but she was willing. We just couldn't stand each other.
Mm-hmm.
It was a weird thing. But we both we didn't want to not like each other. So we went to coffee and I think we only did it 2 or 3 times and that was enough. And now we like each other enough. And we're like, good, we don't need to spend more time, but we got past that barrier.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I use it, and I don't always use it like that, but I use it going, I think that communication is how you, if you're not going to be part of a group that shares enough, like that study group where it's every day around that table where they get to know each other, you've got to make more effort.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. And just as a segue into a show called Advanced Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh,
now here you've got this tight-knit group. And there's a guy you mentioned, his name is Fat Neil or Neil.
And Neil, sorry, Fat Neil.
So they start to notice him getting depressed. So they decide to try and cheer him up by playing Dungeons and Dragons, which is one of his favorite games to play. And they leave Pierce out. So there's, you know, Pierce has a horrible reaction to that. He does not want to be left out. So this is one of the episodes in which he was absolutely incredibly mean, but I thought it was enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
I
mm-hmm.
thought that he did a really good job in this one. You know, this may have been a fun one for him to
do.
It was
well written for one thing.
Yeah, it was very well written. So Pierce is mean and vile, but yet it was still very funny. And at other episodes, he's mean and vile, and then my mouth just drops open. It's not like, that's hilarious, you know? It's like, oh my gosh. Are you kidding me? Yeah. It's just like, so, but in this episode, and this is one of those episodes that I would call a special one because it's not typical. I mean, it starts out with a narrator saying, this is the story of Fat Neil who blah, 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 you know.
That's right. There's the voiceover.
So immediately you feel like it's different. And the whole episode is a game of Dungeons and Dragons. And it was fun. Man, I enjoyed that. And Neil, one of the things that I noted about it is Neil is such a nice guy. He's feeling horrible about himself, and yet he still always treats everybody well. Even Pierce.
He's admirable.
Yeah. So Pierce comes in, he's all upset. You're sitting in my chair, you know, get out of there, fatty, and all this stuff. And then, he shows up in the game, you know, Abed is forced to put him in the game. So Abed says, you see a naked 61-year-old, whatever, in the field. And Neil's like, I give him my cloak. You know, even though he's just been berated by Pierce, he's still very nice.
And Pierce is unrelenting because then doesn't he say, and I take his sword. Can I do that?
Yeah,
the cloak he gave you is a cloak of speed or invisibility or something. Yeah. So you can. And everybody's like, but what you see, of course, is that they are giving Neil the attention that they never gave Pierce, who needed the attention just as much.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And instead of reacting in a socially acceptable way.
Yeah.
Pierce is like a baby having a tantrum.
Right. And, and that's kind of what you're saying about folks that you would call the Pierce in the group.
Right.
You know, you can't just throw them out. This is where they fit. Mm-hmm. And it causes great problems if you try to do that, you know?
Yeah. And I would hear both my kids at different times, you know, because through conversation, if no other way, you know who their groups are in school.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple different times for both of them, there'd be this person who just didn't fit in, who caused all this trouble, who was so annoying. And I would say, why do you guys do anything with them? And each time, both of them made me proud of them and a little ashamed of myself because they both stopped and said they'd have no one. We can't do that to them. Made me proud, you know.
At
whatever ages, they were acknowledging that.
Right, right. Yeah, that's nice. That's nice.
Yeah, which is much more mature than the study group. they're rarely
I'd agree.
That mature.
For sure.
Well,
for
you have
sure.
Annie, who's the nice one.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Now, Abed is constantly interesting. I think he's one of the characters that makes this show. And,
he's the Mr. Spock.
Yeah.
He's the alien among
right.
us.
Right, and exactly. And again, it shows you what science fiction can do by pulling someone out of the normal.
Right.
You know, you can observe the normal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what science fiction does a lot. And that's what Abed does in this thing. So every now and then he has a throwaway line. And in this episode, I loved the line where they're saying, well, we need a Pegasus or something like that. Can't you just give us a Pegasus? But I'm not sure if it's in that exact moment, but he says something like, I have to be impartial, otherwise the game has no meaning.
Yes.
I loved that line.
Right.
That was cool.
Well, and it's funny because I looked at that this time, especially since we were going to talk about this and it being a Catholic podcast, and I looked at it and went, you know, that's that whole idea of that you'll see in Psalms or whatever, where it says the rain falls on the good and evil alike. God sends the sun to the good and evil alike. He doesn't pick and choose his favorites.
Yeah, right.
You know, everybody has the same chance.
Yeah. And then,
or the game has no meaning.
Exactly. Or the game has no meaning. And then you go through this entire incredible game of Dungeons and Dragons that Neil at the end says, this is the best game I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it was the best game that he ever had was because it was impartial. I mean, if Abed had done anything in there to pick a side, it would have ruined that. And then if you step farther back, you know, what does that say about life? Because it does say a little bit about life and, you know, how we view things and how much we'd wish somebody would intervene in something specific. And, sometimes it doesn't happen that way, but the, it just, you know, I just loved that statement, from Abed.
Well, yeah. And I the thing too, I hadn't thought about that in terms of Neil saying it was the best game he'd ever played. And there, it was that way for two reasons. One was Pierce was trying as hard as he could to beat everyone. He was truly the villain to defeat. And at the same time, everybody else was a united team determined to bring him down.
Right, right.
Well, so it was a true competition. Nobody was shading anything to let him win, to exactly. let Neil win because mm-hmm. they wanted him to feel better.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
It was really good that way.
Yeah, and he said that line to Pierce. It was yeah. like, hey, you want to play again next week?
It was just the two of them.
It was just the two of them. And even though Pierce had said all those horrible things, he's like, hey, let's play again. Well, and sure, that was interesting, yeah. I liked it.
Because they saw him as pitiable.
Yeah.
And it was Neil who led the way on that.
Right, right. You're right.
Yeah. So
good episode.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And that's the thing about this show is, you know, it's more spotty. It's a little more uneven than some shows, I would say.
I agree.
But mm-hmm. it's when it hits it, it has moments of depth like that, that mm-hmm. I have a real, that solid human reality that we all understand.
Right, right.
It doesn't have to be. That's the thing I liked also realizing about this is, you know, something doesn't have to be super deep to like it. It can mm-hmm. be shallow.
Yep.
It could just have a simple message.
Sure.
Those are the ones we understand best.
Yep, yep. I agree.
Okay, so let's just talk for a minute about the great paintball controversy.
Ooh, the great paintball controversy.
because you're completely wrong about the best paintball episodes.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, so what do we have here? At the near the end of season one, there was an episode called Modern Warfare.
Oh, yeah.
And in this episode, the Dean has this idea, the Dean played by Jim Rash, he has this idea that, hey, let's have a game of Paintball Assassin. And right. the winner of this game is going to get, what was it, unrestricted or early registration or something like
yeah.
that, where
yeah.
you could pick anything you wanted.
Right.
But at the beginning, you don't know that that's the thing, and that's important. So, so Jeff Winger, of course, is immediately above all of this. So he goes to sleep in his car, and there is a magnificent scene where he wakes up and he can hear gunshots. And he gets out, and it's like something from
paper bag.
Yeah, it's like something from The Walking Dead
across the parking lot. It's
exactly.
like 28 Days Later. I don't know if you've seen
yep,
that.
Yep, I have. You bet.
But yeah. it's just like that.
Same
where
thing.
It's just like
yeah.
I woke up, and what the hell happened? Where did society go?
Right. So he walks in, and then again in this really special way that Community has that nobody else has. All of the characters are taken in by this paintball assassin, and he sees Troy and Abed, and
yeah, that's Troy's
he's
the
like,
warrior.
Yeah, Troy's
oh,
like,
Jeff, the magnificent
Jeff Winger,
bastard.
Yeah, exactly. Like I haven't seen you for. I thought you were dead and all this yeah. stuff. And oh, and,
yeah, it's mm-hmm. yeah. So it's this perfect apocalyptic slash I don't know what shoot 'em up scenario that they do, and still with that thread underneath of what would you do if you won.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved the way all the little touches, like, you know, they're sitting around in the cafeteria, but they're warming their hands at a trash can that's got a burning fire in it, just like you would if you were out in the wastelands because
exactly,
the apocalypse
exactly.
happened. But it's in the cafeteria.
And the Dean is freaking out, yeah, because yeah. he's destroyed the campus.
Yeah.
Funny, funny stuff. But even better than that episode.
This is wrong information, everyone. I want you to keep in mind that I love Scott, but he's wrong. Okay.
At the end of season two, there's a one-hour-long, it's a two-parter. The first one is called A Fistful of Paintballs. Need I say anything else?
I do have to say the second one's called For a Few Paintballs More, and that is genius. It's truly genius.
Oh, it's fantastic.
And, well, and it is genius, too, in the way mm-hmm. that they introduce everyone, because the second one, or the A Fistful of Paintballs,
uh-huh.
obviously has a Western theme.
Right.
And so when they're introducing everyone, you know, Annie shows up, and then she's the Queen of Hearts.
Exactly.
So-and-so
exactly.
shows up, he's the King of Spades or
yeah,
whatever.
And I absolutely loved, you know, we were talking about Pierce and kicking him out of the group. There's an element in this where those cards were in use because they were voting on whether or not to keep Pierce in the group. So they were voting with cards.
You don't know that until the very end. Yeah, and that's when you go, oh my gosh, those had meaning. Wow.
Exactly.
This is cool.
And that's, I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
But from the very first moment, you see Fat Neil running through the halls and everything's dark. And did you happen to notice that, Anthony Michael Hall. Do you remember him from Weird Science?
I never saw Weird Science.
Yeah, back in the 80s. He was the guy who was holding Fat Neil at bay with a
pistol.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. From that old 80s movie.
And that's the thing. That's all those little pop culture
Breakfast
things,
Club. Right? Yeah, he was in the Breakfast Club, too.
Never saw it.
Never saw the Breakfast Club? My goodness gracious.
I was a little too old for the Breakfast Club to have resonance.
I gotcha.
Sorry.
I gotcha. No, it's a good movie.
I was meant to see it. You know, it's one of those, but you kind of went, I don't know if I care about that kind of movie right now.
Gotcha. And, gotcha.
Yeah.
That just surprised me because you've seen so many. Yes.
Yeah.
So anyway, then Fat Neil is held at bay and then Annie shows up and it's like, you know, this Western and she's drawing a gun. Oh, I fell in love with it at that moment. And then just like in that other episode, she goes into the lab and she's cooking beans, you know, it's like she's been here for weeks of survival, you know, and it's been a day. I mean, it hasn't even been a day. And
I know. And she's got the warning system set up with the labels, you know, that's
exactly. And Abed shows up and starts eating her beans.
He's got
man.
The poncho like Clint Eastwood.
Exactly. And, you know, and then the first time you see that character, that, you know, whoopsh, you know, that whip sound, just like from that old spaghetti Western. And then they say Abed. Yeah. And then the first time you see Winger, he's laughing. He says, you know, cause the math club or somebody is trying to shoot him and he's laughing. He says, yeah, they were all doing this while we were all out on dates. A big smile, and then they take his photo. Oh man,
they're getting ready for paintball. They've been practicing. Well, and then they start mixing their cultural reference metaphors because there's a mysterious, what is he, the Black Rider, and it turns out to be Josh Holloway, who played Sawyer on Lost. That was his, that's where most people would have known him from at that time. And he was in a sense playing that same character. And everybody kept going, wow, he is good looking. Robin says, yeah, he's network TV. Jeff, of course, is like, I don't think he's average.
He's average.
I
love the moment where he says he could hear the guy out in the hallway. And he says, hey, you know, I'm Jeff Winger. You've probably heard of me. You've probably heard of me by now. Oh man, that made me laugh.
And he's and he does the little things that you would identify from Lost, like he calls Annie bean allergy. Because his thing in Lost was to give everybody nicknames. So
that's funny. That was lost on me because I haven't seen much Lost.
Yeah, well, I watched the first three seasons, and I probably would have watched longer, but my husband was like, I am sick of never having an answer to anything, and when they give you an answer, they're lying to you. He's like, why are we wasting our time? And I suddenly, it was like a reality slap. And I went, oh, yeah. You know, I don't care that much.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'm just going to say on Lost, they got to the end and it was what everybody knew from the beginning.
Really?
Hello.
Hello.
Well, it's,
gotcha.
I watched like two episodes and I was like, I think they're in purgatory. And you get to the end. Well, I guess everybody knows this by now. Yeah, they've all been dead. They've been waiting for people to work their stuff out on this weird island. And so it's not exactly purgatory, but it's close enough. And I'm like, you know, because they were, oh, no, that's not it. You're going to be so surprised. Wrong.
Hello. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about that?
Thanks for not giving anybody credit for being smart enough to figure that out.
You bet.
Anyway.
So, yeah. So then in the second half, it kind of turns into a little bit of a different thing.
That's a Star Wars
thing. Yeah. Kind of a Star Wars thing where it's funny how their costumes change and everything.
Yeah.
So Abed is like Han Solo. And anyway, I didn't like the second part as much as I liked the first. But I did I did enjoy the second part.
That was good.
Yeah. But the Fistful of Paintballs, you know, that episode and Pillows and Blankets, I think I've probably seen them 10 times each. Just if I was going to watch a community episode and I had time for just one, I would throw on one of those two.
Oh, yeah. For me, it's Epidemiology, which is the zombie Halloween one.
Yep, yep.
And Dungeons and Dragons. And wait, let me just look here because... Oh, I'm sorry. We've forgotten the most supreme, wonderful one of all. Ooh. Remedial Chaos Theory.
Yes,
which
we cannot end this podcast without talking about that one. Yep. And Pillows and Blankets.
Yeah, Pillows and Blankets is genius. I watched it the most recently. Uh-huh. I didn't watch the first one, but they give a good enough summary.
Yeah, I don't think that the first one is necessary at all. I watched them both, and Pillows and Blankets is completely standalone. It's wonderful.
Of course, and the thing with Pillows and Blankets that's so great, or that two-parter that's so great, is at that point they're very meta. They're riffing on themselves because one of the best episodes of Community that was just a regular one, they had built suddenly this school-wide blanket fort that everybody picked up. And at one point, I remember everybody's chasing somebody and they're having to go through the pillow fort. And they're like, whoa, wait, oh, that's the Asian section. Or this is Marrakesh town or whatever, you know, because that's happened in less than a day.
Right. Right.
And they just, it's like their imaginations run riot and they do it. It's really great.
It is great.
So anyway, Pillows and Blankets is like Ken Burns, I guess. I've never.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a documentary. Just, I love absolutely every minute of this episode.
Yeah,
I mean, from the very first moment. In fact, I think they even have a narrator from one of Ken Burns's documentaries. But the whole thing is there's a pillow fort and a blanket fort, one built by Troy, one built by Abed, and they want there's an opportunity to get a world's record for the biggest blanket fort or whatever. And in order to do that, one of them has to give way for the other so that, because Abed will not compromise the integrity of his fort. It's all just so ridiculous, you know? And, but anyway, so now they have become enemies and, you know, I remember a line that's something like a softly lobbed Serta something pillow, you know,
and
it started the whole thing. And then it's just like the Civil War. It's like a Civil War documentary, but it's a pillow fort against a blanket fort.
And the thing is that it's because, of course, they're doing the whole documentary thing and it's brilliant. Mm-hmm. But Abed's friendship with Troy is the most human thing about him.
Yeah.
It's the most normal thing about him.
Right.
They understand each other.
They understand each other and they offend each other. And, you know, the attempts to reconcile them don't work. And I thought it was a poignant moment when Abed wrote this letter about Troy, how to get at him. And, you know, so in amongst all this satire and all this homage to the Ken Burns and everything is, it was terrific. All the content was terrific. The look of it was terrific. And, Britta taking pictures black and white cans was terrific. Everything.
Like
text
messages and stuff.
Exactly.
The way they would do it. And then a lot of still shots of everything.
Right, right.
And the interesting thing is that Jeff did know how to say, the Dean keeps appealing to Jeff and the Dean, it's funny because the Dean is obviously gay. He's obviously attracted to Jeff, but all he'll ever do is just look up in a tough moment and go, oh, Jeffrey. That's when my husband will just roll off the couch laughing because it's just there and then gone, you know?
Yeah.
But he's appealing to Jeff because Jeff could stop it and Jeff doesn't care because Jeff thinks it's stupid. But what happens is that he knows the way to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
I have your invisible friendship hats. Here you go. And they're like, no, because you don't believe it.
Right, right.
And they take their hats off and throw them in the corner. And so that transcends a moment of documentary or anything else, but it's the way that allows them both out while saving face, essentially.
Right, yeah.
Because they'll both agree on that moment. And so about Troy and Abed, but then in that sense, it's about Jeff, too.
Yeah, and then when Jeff does successfully reconcile these two, he actually seems to believe himself, at least, you know, so he actually goes all the way back to the office to get these hats. And I thought that was a cool moment too.
Yeah, Troy's is a little crumpled, but
yeah,
I
can fix it. He could just go out there and wait a second and then come back in and say, I've got him. But instead he went all the way back to where these imaginary hats were thrown off their heads into a corner, and he finds them.
Yeah.
And it shows the footage from a security camera as he does this. And I just thought it was so good. My gosh.
Yeah.
Just fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, well, because the dean at one point, every so often they'll throw a bone to reality, which the dean will go, does anyone go to classes here anymore? Because he's just looking for the Guinness Book of Records guy to show up.
That's right. Oh, shoot.
So,
I think it was in the episode before it where they were kind of setting it up. He goes, what a waste of a day and a half.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, my gosh.
You go, all right, right.
It's too funny. Oh, my gosh.
Well, I guess the biggest homage to community and to how we affect each other and also just to science fiction in general is the one called Remedial Chaos Theory.
Right. I think this may be the pinnacle. And I think that, in my opinion, to really appreciate this episode, you have to have a little bit of community history, you know, where you've kind of know where everybody fits, because it was astounding.
You have to watch some episodes.
Exactly. You have to kind of know who these people are. And not that it's good without that. I mean, it would be plenty fine without that. But the depth that it hits, I think, would be missed.
Mm-hmm.
But what a terrific thing. The setup of the episode is everybody's gone over to Troy and Abed's apartment for a little get-together. And they hear the doorbell ring. And it's the pizza person. So Jeff Winger picks up a die and he says, okay, I'm going to roll this die and decide who is going to go pick up the pizza. And Abed says, you realize that you are making six different timelines. And he rolls the die. And then what they do is they go through each possibility. He rolls the die actually seven times.
Yeah.
So... one time, you know, Troy goes and gets the pizza, Britta goes and gets the pizza, and every time they start completely over, and from that exact moment that he rolls the die, it starts over from there, and you see what happens when each person goes and gets the pizza.
Yeah, so you see each person's dynamic or effect on the group dynamic.
Yeah.
By their being gone.
Exactly.
And, it's such a brilliant episode.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, that episode is just, like you said, brilliant. I mean, you know, when you watch it, you know, and you see what happens when Jeff is gone, and it's meaningful. It's not like it's just random events. There has been thought. I mean, they thought about, okay, what would happen if Jeff was gone?
What would happen
if this was gone? Yeah. And there's reasons for the things that happen.
Yeah, there's a reason he's at the end.
Yeah, too. Exactly.
Well, yeah, and they use it to reveal other things like Pierce's gift to Troy.
Yeah.
How that's given or not given and reacted to, you know, Shirley with her pies that she's making.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
Homemade pizza's better. No, but we've ordered real pizza. But mine's real. No, we've ordered real pizza.
Yeah. Now Winger won't let Britta sing Roxanne.
Right.
Like, nope. Yeah. I love that too.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because that's the key to the whole, each episode, really.
Exactly.
I say each episode. Each segment.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one was brilliant. And it's funny, in a sense, it shows one of the things I liked about a different one, which is called Aerodynamics of Gender.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's when Troy and Abed discover a hidden trampoline, like in a secret garden type thing.
The Garden of Eden. Yep.
Right. The Garden of Eden.
No double bouncies.
No darkness here.
Yep.
But, but the funny thing was, in watching that one, the part that interested me more is Abed and the girls, because he goes off and takes their, like, feminine gender class or whatever with them.
Mm-hmm.
And Pierce again is outside. He's excluded always on these things. And so he's angry. But basically, the girls give Abed permission to become a mean girl.
Uh-huh.
And so he's like a robot. He's looking at people, targeting their weaknesses and zinging them. And of course, in the process of this, Annie, Britta, and Shirley become the mean girls.
Right.
And
right.
the way he takes it down, takes the whole situation down, is by sacrificing himself.
Yeah.
Once he realizes what's going on. And it's kind of interesting because in a very lesser degree, it shows what the remedial chaos theory shows, which is we learn about ourselves and how we're reflected in our community.
Yes. Those are the people and that who is, keep that us is in really line. Brilliant. Because once you're done watching remedial chaos theory, yeah. it's hard not to think about what your effect is on people.
Right.
And that's the genius of the episode.
Right.
Yeah. And you put it just perfectly. You know, you have an effect on your community. And what effect is it that you're having?
Yeah. It's those ripples that we all have on everyone around us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that they have on us. And those are the people who kind of keep us in check. You know, we may make allowances for other people, but then we stop and think, how are they having to make allowances for me? And hopefully, if your community is doing, if your little various communities are really the right kind, where you care about each other, no matter how quirky you all are, then they're making you better and you're making them better.
Right.
You're all wanting to live up to what each other expects. Without that, that's why hermits have a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need that. You need, even though it's uncomfortable sometimes, you need it.
Right. Even the introverts, right?
Even the introverts. That's right.
Of which I are one, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I'm in between. I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, everybody's listening going, yeah, right.
Yeah, right. How many podcasts are you doing? Right.
I'm deeper than you know.
That's funny. Now, on this remedial chaos theory, I didn't look this up, but I remember after having seen that episode, I looked up some things about Dan Harmon because I thought it was so cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I found some things, and if I can find them, I'll put them in the show notes, but... about the writing of this episode. Did you say you've got the DVD of that?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it talks about the writing of it at all. But I remember I remember seeing a whiteboard in which they had written everybody's name and they were working out how this was going to go and who, you know, the order in which it was going to go and everything. I mean, seriously, a lot of thought went into that.
Yeah.
And yeah, if I can find anything like that, that'll be fun. But that reminds me of one other thing that I want to say. Dan Harmon has put – he was involved in some group. And I'm not sure where this group came from. But he's written some stuff called – it's on a wiki called Channel 101 about story structure.
Really?
Yeah. And he just kind of lays out how he does things for everybody to read. So I'll send a link to that.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, yeah. He just talks about how he lays things out and what people's motivations are and how it's important to story and exactly, you know, that's kind of how he writes. So I know a lot of people are interested in that. I'm definitely interested in that. So I'll be sure and put that in the show notes.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah, so Channel 101 must I think that it's online videos and things, and he was giving people suggestions because he said people used to say, you know, but I can't write. And he says, yes, you can. This is how you do it. So.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Write that down, Channel 101. I know you're sending a link. And we'll need to, we'll try and put a list, I guess, of the episodes. Well, I guess we talked about them enough.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say the only other one that this was an extra for me. Well, there's two others that are extras that are just brilliant. If all you want to do is dip into something to see the brilliance that I don't think you have to know community for these. And one of them was called Digital Estate Planning. It's from the third season.
Yep.
And it's almost all done as an old style video game. You know, Pac-Man style graphic thing, a little bit more complex.
Super
but it
Mario,
gives you an idea of how they'll just take it and go into a completely different medium and just go nuts with it. It was so good. And then the other one, and I can't remember the name, I didn't look it up, but it's basically Law and Order. And Dick Wolf even gave them permission to use the little sound thing that we all know from it and to use phrases and to mimic the whole thing, and they're investigating how their biology project went wrong. Who murdered the yam? You know, the yam winds up on the floor.
Exactly.
Crushed.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't get their grade. So it's all investigated that way, and it's purely brilliant.
Yeah, very cool.
That and
very
the zombie cool. Halloween.
Yep.
That's obvious because I didn't know those anything about anything.
Episodes. All fun episodes. Yeah. And I'll be watching this to the bitter end. You know, I'm not disillusioned enough with what's going on that I won't watch it, but it's almost like, you know, they're just having a lot of difficulty with the changes. You know, Pierce is gone now, and Troy is going to be gone. You know, I'm talking mm-hmm. about the current episodes. Maybe after they get through this bump, maybe, you know, they can get back to some really good stuff, but we'll see.
Yeah, and it may take a little time to get back in the groove, and I'm the same way, although I did think it's interesting that there have been four episodes so far, I think, of the season, and everything I've seen is shot in these blue tints.
Yeah, and I wonder why that is.
Which is, you know, very
and
depressing.
Yeah, it is very depressing. It's not joyous at all.
Mm-mm.
And they've mentioned there may be something that I do not know. I mean, maybe they're assuming they're not going to get renewed, or they've already decided this will be the last season, but they've mentioned Scrubs, and Scrubs is last season.
Oh.
And it makes me think that, you know, this is the last season. They're just referring to, you know, hey, look how much like Scrubs we are.
Where they had to retool.
I think
they had a reboot like that too. And
exactly.
I didn't watch Scrubs, so I don't know. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, I haven't watched Scrubs to the end, but I've watched a few seasons of it.
Yeah, well, I would like to mention really, really fast because mm-hmm. I know we're just getting late and people have to go to work. us, but some really good sitcoms that are not necessarily super deep, but are so good, like Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yes, I love that show.
Strong. Who doesn't love that?
Really enjoying that show. It's funny that you watch that too, because I love it.
I came for Andre Brower. I stayed for the show.
Yep, that show makes me laugh. Good show.
And I can't believe you told me one time you had never seen Arrested Development. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. That's
must see. Okay.
A hole in your life.
How's that going? Have you watched the new stuff?
Oh, no, because what I've heard is that it's bit kind of like trying to restart this, except worse, because they couldn't get everyone else together at the same time. So they did completely change how they did it. But there's three fantastic seasons that you can watch.
Okay.
The first three seasons, and it was wonderful before it was canceled.
Okay.
And the other one, and I've mentioned this before, is Spaced.
Yes, Spaced. And I have seen some of those. Yep. I love those actors very much.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you watch all those in order, there's only two seasons and they're British seasons, so they're really short.
Cool.
Those are the same. Those are brilliant. And then, of course, to a lesser degree, and I haven't seen all of these, The IT Crowd.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The IT Crowd I like very much too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. I watch The Big Bang Theory.
Okay.
I really love the Jim Parsons is just brilliant. But you know, like a lot of sitcoms, they focus a hell of a lot on sexual content.
Oh, right.
And I think that it's that. You know, so it's annoying on Big Bang Theory, but when they're not fixated on that, that show really makes me laugh. And I know it's got a laugh track on it and everything, which really annoys the hell out of me, but Sheldon Cooper just makes me laugh. That guy just makes me laugh a lot. And
that is something that you had mentioned that we didn't address and we meant to, which is that, you know, like a lot of American culture today, there's this obsession with sex that it's always thrown into stuff, whether or not it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so Community is like that too.
Yeah, and there's some episodes of Community that, you know, if your kids were watching it, you probably would be uncomfortable.
I wouldn't watch this with my kids anyway.
Yeah.
It's just, they don't need to see it. Mm-hmm. That would be me. But we're the people who taped The Simpsons and would just watch it after the kids went to bed. So
Yeah. Yep.
Also, have you watched Bob's Burgers?
No, I have not heard of Bob's Burgers. What is
that? Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'd heard of it when it started, but it was on opposite something else that I taped. So like maybe the Amazing Race or something. So I didn't watch it, but I'd been told from the beginning that it's must-see TV, and it is hilarious. It's animated.
Okay.
Hilarious.
Animated. Gotcha.
Yeah, Fox. Okay. It's still on, and we watch it through Netflix. It's cool, streaming cool. on Netflix, so you could watch it. So it's really funny. It doesn't have, and people will laugh, the depth of The Simpsons, because mm-hmm. the first, 9 to 13 seasons of The Simpsons had a lot of heart and soul.
Yeah.
Like Community, in a sense. And they were, as my husband says, they're a lot deeper than Community, actually, a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. But Bob's Burgers isn't quite like that. Its heart is in the right place, but it's just funny. It's so funny.
Cool. Well, one that you've mentioned to me in the past that I've, since you've mentioned it. One that you mentioned to me in the past that since you've mentioned it, I've been watching now and then is Frasier.
What's that?
Frasier.
Oh, you've never watched
No,
Frasier?
I have. But since you mentioned it, I started to kind of rewatch it. But it was a show that I would catch, you know, now and then, because it was on when I was in college and things. So it's not something that you would catch in college too often. Mm-hmm. But very good show. It's really good. They're like little plays. Oh. Each episode is like a play.
Yeah.
Very well done.
I would say that's like the gold standard, honestly. That and Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Which is a different kind. Seinfeld is more of a Community style in that way.
Yeah,
and that a lot of times it's about nothing, as they said, but so funny.
Yeah.
And on target, and especially, of course, Seinfeld as it went on, but Frasier started off strong that way.
Yeah, yeah, but sure did.
Those are both, those are things for people to shoot for.
Heck yeah.
And I would say Arrested Development also.
Cool, okay.
I don't know
I definitely need to see those seasons then.
Yeah, I don't know how they could do something that was so completely dysfunctional all the way through and yet always worked. Right. It was so amazing.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
That's right, buddy.
Oh, fantastic. Well, this has been a lot of fun. This is a show I really like. So now next up, we are going to Mordor, and nobody just walks into Mordor.
You got to get ready for that.
We're going to talk about Lord of the Rings in our next episode or episodes, depending on how we decide to put it out there, because it's going to be longer than an hour.
Episodes.
Fantastic. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, the whole trilogy. And then at some point later, we'll talk about the movies, too. Yeah. So, you know, if you're done with the book and you want to watch the movies, that's not a bad thing.
Right. For sure.
After we talk about the book, of course.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you
bet. And then at some point in there, we're going to watch Gravity.
Gravity. Yes, I finally saw Gravity. It came out to the theaters again since it was nominated for an Oscar, and I was blown away. So we're going to talk about that movie, too.
Yeah. So that's our upcoming schedule, loosely.
Yeah. So fantastic. All right. Well, thanks again. Love this, and I love our community.
Yeah, me too. All right. Our community of two here.
Heck yeah. You betcha.
And you guys listening.
Yeah. Thank you for listening.
Mm-hmm. And if you're listening, let us know you're part of the community. Let us know you're out there.
For sure.
Email us or, review on iTunes, which I don't ask for much, but it's more for the, hey, there's someone else listening.
Exactly. Well, great. Well,
have a good few weeks, everybody.
Yep, you bet. Take care now.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.